Welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Before we get into our last session tonight, I just want to take a moment to just say a special thank you to really the person behind the scenes of a lot of this, who has done most of the work of what you're seeing everywhere. And Joyce Harms, would you please come up? And I just want to, like, you're going to be all the way up here. She's making this really hard. So she wants me to just say, don't come up, but I'm going to make you come all the way up. Kimberly and I really had this event on our heart, and here we go, and the thing about when God puts things on your heart is, I think he usually sets it up in such a way where you just can't do it yourself, and that's a good thing, where you have to do it together and with a group of people. And so Kimberly and I kind of had this vision on our heart of what we wanted to do, and so we met with Joyce, and we just kind of said, blah, here's all of it. And she just, like, took it and ran with it. And the awesome thing is, it wasn't just her. She could stand up here and list off all the women who helped to make this happen. But I just want to say thank you so much. None of this would have been here without you and your amazing heart to serve and to sacrifice and to be behind the scenes. So thank you once again. Yeah. I love our church so much. I love the women that God has brought together, and I love that we get to do life together, and we get to serve together. And I love in Ephesians 4 where it says the job of the leaders is not to do the work, but to equip you guys to do the work. And really, that's part of what this weekend is about, is to call you guys to stand up and rise up into the calling that God has for you, because there are people that God has for each of you to reach and people to influence that we couldn't do on our own. Ben and I, the leaders of our church, we can't do it, but it's our job to equip you. And so we are excited just to see what the seeds of this weekend start in our community and the people that you guys influence. So the title of this session, this message, is Rest and Recovery. We've talked a lot this weekend about being courageous and being a warrior woman and all that awesome stuff, but rest and recovery is also a really important part of that, and that's something that God has been really doing in my heart over the last year. When we did our discussion groups earlier and we talked about, what do you see yourself more, like a builder or a battler? And man, I have this thing in me that just says, I just want to go out and do for God, you know? I just have this, like, passion inside of me. But you can't always be the passionate person that's running. Sometimes you have to stop and rest and heal and recover. And so that's something that God's been doing in my heart over the past year, really specifically. And a woman who is truly courageous knows when it's time to stop and to slow down and to rest and to heal. You can't be on the battlefield all the time. And a warrior woman may go out and fight battles and have those great moments of victory, but a warrior also has to take time to heal, to go home, to take off their armor, and to recover. And the harder that you fight, the more time you need to take time to recuperate. So if you're out there and you're fighting a really, really hard battle, you're going to need even more time to recover from it. That's just the way that it works. And God created us to experience the rhythms of life. He gave us sleep. He gave us Sabbath. He gave us seasons. And all of these things have an ebb and a flow to them. There's just this rhythm of life that you kind of, God created naturally. I was talking to somebody earlier, and they said they were laughing at their table about the idea of seasons. And, you know, there's winter, fall, and all that. And they said, there's also hurricane season. I was like, that is so appropriate. Yeah, Deb Neal's like, uh-huh. They said, we need a whole retreat just about seasons. I said, maybe next one, you know. But it's true. You know, there's different seasons of life. There's the winter and the spring and the summer and then the fall, the harvest. And God created it that way naturally. And then in the spiritual, it's that way too. There's an ebb and a flow to life. And I think a lot of times we can twist the idea of what it means to be courageous and what it means to be a warrior. to where we think we always have to be out there fighting and taking a hill and conquering the next new thing. But there's something so really beautiful and reassuring about being able to rest and wait and be still. It's this amazing realization that Jesus doesn't expect us to know all and have all and do all. He doesn't expect that from us. There's a beautiful verse in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, and it says, "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And I've always read this verse and the word "they that wait upon the Lord." I always thought like they who are patient for him, like if you're patient, he'll renew your strength. But in the Hebrew, which is what this is written in originally, it doesn't actually mean patience, those that wait upon the Lord. And you'll see it translated in the NIV, it's translated those who hope in the Lord. In the New Living Translation, it says those who trust in the Lord. But the actual Hebrew word there is the word kava. And you can see that up on the screen there, the word kava. And what it literally means is to be twisted together like the strands of a rope or to be entwined. And it's similar to if you have a really, really thin piece of wire and you wrap it around a really big cable that can hold like 10,000 pounds on its own. If you wrap that thin wire around that large cable, that thin wire becomes as strong as the cable. And that's the idea of what kava is. It could almost be translated, "they that place their weight upon the Lord." Isn't that cool? "They that place their weight upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And it has to do with taking our frailty and our weakness and resting it upon the Lord's strength. You're able to take a break from your own lifting and your own striving and let God do the heavy lifting for you. Doesn't that sound good? Oh man, it sounds really good. This verse goes on to say that you'll mount up with wings like eagles, you'll run and not be weary, and you'll walk and not faint, because you're not doing it in your own power, you're resting in God. So of course you have more strength. Of course you're able to step up and do it because you don't have all this weight on you that you're trying to carry on your own. Another verse that goes along with this idea that I so love is the Psalm 46:10, the first part of it, and it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And this verse is such a good reminder for me because I don't like to be still. I want to be out doing stuff. And the words "be still" come from the Hebrew word rapha. And rapha means to cause yourselves to let go or let yourselves become weak. It means to let go of your grip. It's almost like it's saying, "Let go of your grip and know that I am God. Be still, let go, become weak and know that I am God," is what he's telling us. And in my personality, I am very, very driven. I find it difficult to rest, difficult to slow down. I find it really difficult to be still and just let things be. And really, it's probably one of the biggest challenges of my life. My husband always jokes that it's my greatest strength and it's my greatest weakness. I work really, really hard, but I don't know how to stop. And I feel like I have to keep everything together. Anybody feel that way? As a mom, especially, it's just this tendency we have to make sure that things are in control, that my family's working properly, that our church is working properly, that all the details of my life are working properly, that my husband's working properly, that everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, right? Like, that's this, we just feel like it's on us to make sure it happens. But I forget so many times that the reality is that I'm not the master of my universe, God is. And that's the truth. And so in my life, I have to keep reminders in front of me all the time because I'm so quick to forget these things. And so my reminders, I have a couple of places that I keep these in front of me. One is on my computer screensaver, on the desktop of my computer, because that's my workplace, my digital workplace. I'm on it a lot. And my verse on there says, "Be still and know that I am God." Like, oh, okay, I should do that. That's one place. Another one is going up the stairs in my house, up to my bedroom and up to my study where I do a lot of my work. I have pictures of my kids and a picture of a tree, and then I have two frames, and one says peace, and one says be still. And so as I'm hurrying up and down the stairs, it reminds me, oh, yeah, I should have peace and be still. That's a great idea. I need those constantly in my face on my computer and going up my stairs. I have to have those because I don't do it otherwise. And another reminder for me and is a song. And of course, songs speak so deeply to me, but it's a song by Bethel Church, and it's the song, It Is Well. And it's their kind of modern rendition of the old hymn. And there's a verse or a chorus in it that just, man, it just tears me up in a good way. And it says, let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. Oh, and it's such a good reminder to me that the waves and wind of my life, that, you know, when Jesus was on the boat and he said, peace be still, and those natural wind and waves knew his name. But in my own life, those things that are the wind and the waves that just make me feel so unstable, that those things know his name too, and he's the one that has control, and I can be still because he's the one that's carrying those things. And I need these reminders because even with them, I tend to let my drivenness get away from me. I can run so hard and so fast and at such an unsustainable pace that before I know it, I'm totally and completely spent. And then those are the moments where I like break down and cry to my husband. I'm like, why do I have to work so hard? Why do I have to hold everything together? He's like, stop, right? It's not that easy. But I get to this place where I'm so spent emotionally and physically and spiritually and in my relationships. There's this tension. And mentally, I just feel so exhausted. I come to these places and I do it to myself, you know? But God didn't design us to live unhealthy lives. He didn't. Your calling will not come at the expense of your health. You've got to hear that. Your calling will not come at the expense of your health. And whatever that looks like in your life, whether it's physical or spiritual or emotional, it won't come at the expense of that. Because God is so gracious and so good. He's given us these certain guideposts and indicators in our life to let us know when we're running too hard, to let us know when we get too tired, when our emotions are running short, when our stress gets high, when our thoughts start running away from us. Those are all indicators that God has given us that's like, hey, you need to slow down. When anxiety rises up in you, that's an indicator. Slow down. It's okay. Slow down. And we need to listen to those indicators. He's given us disciplines to prevent us from getting to a place of unhealth. He's put things in our life, whether it's getting into his word, spending time with him, relationship with others. He's given us these things that we can set our lives up in a way to stay healthy and from getting to a place that we're so desperate for reprieve that we'll run to any escape that we can find. And really, that's what happens when we're starved of soul health. We desperately look for escapes. That's just the tendency that happens. And it's similar to what happens when we starve ourselves of actual food. When you're deprived of food, what do? When you finally get to eat, whoa, you wolf it down, right? Or you eat like the junkiest food that you can find. If you've had a busy day and you're just starving, you don't take time to cook a healthy meal. You're like at McDonald's getting something fast, right? Because you're starving and you just need something, right? Well, the same goes with your soul. When you're deprived of the things that your soul needs to be healthy, like rest, actual sleep, being in community with others, spending time with God, prayer, reading his word, taking a Sabbath, and a Sabbath is just taking a day off of work to fill your soul with delight, then you're prone to gorge yourself on unhealthy escapes. And that's what happens. That's the tendency. And some unhealthy escapes could be things like binging on Facebook, just like, oh, I finally have a break from like the madness. I'm just going to like scroll my newsfeed, you know, where you just like get lost in it. Maybe other internet escapes. It could be affairs of the heart where your heart is going after someone or something that's pulling you away from what you should be focusing on. It could be things like overeating or undereating or control or perfectionism or drivenness. And the interesting thing with those is the very thing that can lead us to the place of brokenness is where you run in the midst of your brokenness. It's this perpetual cycle that happens, just becoming more and more perfectionistic or wanting more and more control of your life. Whatever those things are, it could be various addictions in your life. And do you need to know that in our society and throughout all of history, that we are the most in debt, addicted, medicated group of people throughout all of history? The problem is you cannot numb the hard feelings without numbing all the feelings. And that's what we do with escapes. We're trying to numb whatever we're feeling, and as a result, we numb everything. We numb joy, we numb gladness, we numb being present with our families, because we're trying to cover up the parts that are hurting. We get to this place of desperation where we just want relief, and so we numb ourselves and we run from our hurts. We try to bandage the wound with more hurt instead of finding real healing. And you've probably even seen stories of moms that have left their families, you know, have just bailed on their kids. And on the surface, in those moments, it seems unthinkable. Like, how could a mom do that? But in the moment when you're so broken and your body and your mind and your emotions are so spent, it can literally feel like there's no other option. And I remember one time I was reading a story of a mom who did that, and I was like, how on earth? And then it was just like the next day that I was so exhausted, you know, up all night with the babies and so stressed out from the kids crying and needing me that I was just like, I just need to leave. And thankfully I didn't, you know, like I was able to get to a place of health and snap out of it. But when you realize that when you're so spent and so broken and so exhausted, that it can be so easy to just run to those escapes and just like, I just got to get out of here. You're so desperate for a moment of relief that we disregard the consequences and repercussions that can occur. And when you're in an unhealthy place, this can happen so easily. We're so famished that we're just looking for the quickest fix we can find to feed our souls. Another big escape that we can find when we get to a place of unhealth is isolation. And this is a really big one that I think a lot of us deal with. You know, when we're broken and hurting, oftentimes the last thing that we want to do is go out and connect in community. Like, I don't want to be real right now. Like, oh, you know? But in isolation, what actually happens is our brokenness gets way, way worse. It increases exponentially. And we almost cower away to, like, lick our wounds. And instead of finding real healing, we just keep them open and gaping and oozing, and they get grosser and worse. And I know it's a gross picture, but that's kind of the way it works. The wound gets worse, and it festers. And, you know, healing hurts, and it's hard, but it's worth it. But the enemy likes to take us out by telling us that we're less than, that nobody will understand what we're going through. And, you know, the devil will put shame on anything that God wants to bring into the light. Anything that's going on in your heart that the Lord is stirring, that he wants you to share, that the enemy will put shame on it. And he'll tell you lies, and he'll say, oh my gosh, they are going to think you're like the worst person ever if you talk about that. Or they will never look at you the same. Or you're going to sabotage your calling if you talk about that. But the truth is that the darkness loses its power when it's exposed to the light. When you expose it to the light, the darkness loses its power. The fear in being honest is that opening up will disqualify you from your calling. But in fact, it's the very choice to not open up that's derailing you from your calling. Honesty equals hope. And that's the first step for healing and wholeness, is being honest about what you're going through. And listen to this. True courage often sounds more like a cry for help than a battle cry. True courage often sounds more like a cry for help than a battle cry. And we have to realize that and be open to that. And so community is so important, and being honest and vulnerable and real in community is so important. And that's why as a church family, we put such a high value on our community groups, our connect groups, because you can come into a church service and sit there and you can listen to a message and you can sing songs and leave and take your wounds with you and never share them. But when you get into a setting of other people, like we did even at the tables earlier today, there's something about being real and talking about what's going on that can create health in your life. And in our connect groups, even if, like, you know, the ugly cry doesn't happen in that specific setting, it gives you those relationships that you need to go and have that conversation, maybe with another lady. Hey, I really need to go get coffee. Okay, let's do that. And then, woo, you know, that's when the waterworks can happen. And so there, it's just so important, because you need to build those relationships and have those people that you can talk to be real and to be vulnerable with. And so healing happens in community. And I'll just say really quick, as on a side note, is, you know, as the pastor's wife, there's a lot of people that, you know, think, well, who do I talk to? Okay, well, I need to talk to the pastor's wife because she's the person that I need to talk to, right? But actually, you guys, you're the community. There's so many women in here who have so much to offer. And I would encourage you, when you're thinking about who should I talk to about things, to let God put somebody on your heart. who he wants you to talk to. And you know who I spend the most of my time with and build community with are the people in my connect group. Those are the people who get my top priority when things are going on. So I would say that if you have a desire to talk to somebody and build relationships, get in a connect group and find that community and those relationships that you need. That's where healing happens. Another thing that happens in community is encouragement. I love this word encouragement because we're talking about the courageous woman, and the word encouragement is encouragement. Isn't that cool? And encouragement happens from each other. That's where you get courage. And the word encourage literally means to inspire with courage or give confidence or hope to somebody. And so encouragement happens in community. That's where it happens. You have to be with people. And another thing that happens in community is victory. Victory happens in community. Community isn't just needed to provide a safe place for healing, but it's also needed to help you go out and fight your battles. When it's time to fight again, you don't have to do it alone. And you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. In the story of Nehemiah that Kimberly shared about, when they go out to build the wall, everyone was working on it together. It wasn't just the guys of a certain age. It was men, it was women, it was young, old, rulers, servants, soldiers, craftsmen. It was everybody. You had people equipped with shields and spears, and you had people with their tools on their belt. You had a dude with a trumpet. Like, it just goes on and on about all the people that were involved. You had a guy named Shalom and his daughters that were helping. Everybody. It took everybody to do it together. And in that story of Nehemiah, basically they're repairing the wall around Jerusalem, and they weren't building it from scratch. They were just going around in the parts that had been broken down from the battle. They were building it back up again. And we were studying about how actually big the wall was. The wall was 2.5 miles around. It was massive, 40 feet high and 8 feet wide on average throughout this entire city. So it took everybody to do it. And with everybody, it took a total of 52 days to repair that entire wall because they did it together. There's some jobs that we just can't do alone. We just can't do them alone. And that's what I was saying earlier with this event. We had to do it together. We have to do things as a team, as a family. And so we need community. It keeps us from isolation. It helps us to heal. It helps us to be encouraged. And it helps us to be victorious. And so with all of this in mind, where do we go from here? What do we do with all of this? A woman who is truly courageous knows when it's time to slow down and to stop and to heal. She knows that she needs to take time to rest and recover, and she knows that she needs to set up her life in a healthy way. And over this past year, God's used a couple of books in addition to the Bible to really minister this truth to my heart. And one of them is in your resource list, and it's the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and I would highly recommend that book. It is so good, and it'll mess you up in a good way. And it talks about basically maintaining consistent health and stopping before we get out of balance. It deals with having a transformed inner life, and from that inner life, you're able to live out a whole outward life. Another book is the book Boundaries by Henry Cloud. And this book has to do with setting limits and boundaries in a healthy and life-giving way. And that can be really hard as Christian women to know, like, how do I say no to somebody? I'm supposed to love everybody. Like, how do I balance all of this? And it's a really great, healthy perspective of knowing what you're supposed to be focused on, what your actual responsibilities are, and doing those to the best of your ability and being able to say no to the other things. And that has really helped me a lot in a major way. Some other things that have really, God's just really been ministering to my heart over this last year is healthy disciplines. Getting proper rest, taking a Sabbath, spending time with God every day, prayer, reading his word. And they're all like these basic things that are like, duh, we're supposed to read the Bible, right? But doing them on a regular basis and keeping your soul healthy regularly so that you don't get to that place of desperation where you're so famished. It's about having those regular things that you do. Another thing that we need to do as women is we need to be vulnerable in community, like I said before. And the last is we need to run to Jesus instead of to unhealthy escapes. There's times where we're just spent and like we've done everything that we can to stay healthy, but we are just spent. And we know we're unhealthy and there's unhealthy escapes staring us in the face. And in those moments, we need to run to Jesus. In Matthew 11, 28 through 29, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And then in verse 30 in the Message, it says, "Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." And man, that grabs me so much, because over this past year, I would read this passage, and I was like, I don't feel like I'm living freely and lightly. I'm supposed to, like, he says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Why don't I feel like that? And through the season of shaping and transformation that God's been taking me through, I've been really evaluating the health of my life and thinking, gosh, why do I carry all this weight and baggage? And if this is what I'm supposed to look like, what am I doing wrong, right? What am I doing wrong? And I remember praying earlier this year, and I wrote it in my journal, and I wrote this. I said, "God, I want to give it all to you. Teach me how to release my burdens and hurts to you. I want to live a free and light life. I know you say your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Show me how. Show me how to cast my cares on you and release them." And I think that's so good, just being real with Jesus. Like, show me how, you know? Show me how, Jesus. I want to do that. And you know what? He will always come through and show you. He will. And over these months, slowly but surely, Jesus has been teaching me how to do that in a new and a fresh way. And that's the thing, is there's always this new thing in your journey with Jesus. I've been following Jesus for 32 years now, and there's always something new. And I just can't even wait for all that he has in store in the future. There's always going to be something new. Oh, man, I'm sorry. There's always going to be a new lesson to teach you and a new part of who you really are that he wants to unfold to you. There's always something fresh and new. And I apologize. This is just really tender to my heart. In my times of prayer lately, have you guys ever, like, you've gone to sit down and pray because you know you're supposed to pray, and you sit there and you're like, all right, I've got to focus on Jesus. I'm supposed to pray, so I'm just going to sit here. Okay, let's see, how do I do this right now? So you sit there and you're like, all right, dear Jesus. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I got to get this gift for this person later today. And you're like, all right, dear Jesus. And they're like, oh my gosh, I forgot to get my snack for my kids' class today. And so your mind is just reeling, you know? And so somebody once said, oh, you should just, like, have a little notepad by your, you know, where you're sitting, and just jot those things down so you can go back to talking to Jesus. And that works too, but what I've slowly but surely been doing, and what Jesus has been kind of showing me from my own personal life, is just to kind of, like, imagine myself sitting there, just me and Jesus. And so I'm just, like, whether we're, like, sitting in two chairs or whatever, and we're just hanging out. And so I'm just, I'll have my eyes closed, just thinking about him, picture myself sitting there with him. And instead of when those thoughts come to my mind and going, like, oh, stop thinking, instead I just imagine myself just, like, handing it to him, whatever it is. Whether it's a relationship issue that I'm having, or whether it's somebody that texted me earlier in the day and they're going through a super hard problem, just, like, in that moment when that comes to my mind, I just hand it to him. And then another thing comes, and I hand it to him. Another thing, and I hand it to him. And for me, that's been so helpful, because I'm literally casting my cares onto him in my times of prayer. And in those moments, he talks back to me, and he says he'll give me wisdom, and he'll give me ideas of how to, like, resolve a situation, or if it's somebody that needs a word spoken into their life, he'll give me a word to speak to them at that time, and things like that. It's amazing. And I love it, because it's not so boxed in, and I'm a person, I like to have my ducks in a row, but it's just like this beautiful, fluid relationship with Jesus. And that's what he wants for you. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. He wants there to just be, like, this natural, beautiful, relational interaction between you and him. And so I want to encourage you today, you need a healthy soul. The health of your soul is essential to living a healthy life. It's essential to living out the calling that God has for you. And hear me, you can't be perfect, but you can be healthy. You can't be perfect, but you can be healthy. And it almost takes, like, this attitude, having this attitude about you that says, I am going to fight for my health. I'm going to fight for my health physically, spiritually, in my relationships, emotionally, mentally. I'm going to stand for that and fight for that because I cannot live out the calling that God has for my life unless I do that. It's too important not to. I will not settle for brokenness in my life. I will not settle for unhealth. I'm going to step into everything that God has for me, and I'm going to be healthy in the process. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the beautiful, wonderful relationship that you want to have with each of these women. And I just pray right now, if there's an area of their life that just really resonates with being unhealthy, when they hear this and they think, oh my gosh, that's the area, that you would show them how. Show them how to begin releasing that to you. Show them how to hand that over to you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would begin to show us how to live a free and a light life with you in a way that we can be healthy and thriving with nothing missing and nothing broken. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.